Chapter 5, Section 3, 2x2. Many people view the Bible as a constant sequence of stunning miracles. Actually, miracles were very much the exception. Centuries would pass before anything earth-shaking would happen. At this point in our story, the Bible records that no less than 10 generations passed before the next big event unfolded in world history. Each one of those generations represents a long lifespan during which the population of the world increased dramatically. Hundreds and hundreds of years passed, but God did not forget His commitment to send the promised deliverer. Each generation had those who believed God. Though the population of the world was increasing by leaps and bounds, the number who trusted God did not increase at the same rate. The Bible records that all but a few turned their backs on Him. Mankind had not only rejected God, but was intent on following Satan with all the gusto man could muster. The Bible says,
"The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways." Genesis 6, 5, 11, and 12.
If you consider some of the nations of the world, whose nightly news fills our TV screens with accounts of anarchy, war, violence, and rape, then you have an idea what it must have been like. The Scripture says that man's thoughts were consumed with evil continually. Perversion and chaos reigned. The world had become a deadly place in which to live. In addition, the Bible declares that the society of that day had become focused on living for self. What God said wasn't important anymore. It was only important to do what came naturally. Man had scorned God's plan and developed a philosophy of life that excluded any desire to seek after God and get right with Him. Man wasn't even attempting to bridge the gap.
"For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Romans 1, 21 through 32.
Though the people disregarded God, God did not overlook them. God was grieved by all the sin.
"So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air." Genesis 6, 7.
Man may have had a philosophy of life that excluded God, but God still held man accountable for his sinful behavior. One man and his family were different. The Bible says that
Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 6:8-10.
Noah was born as a sinful man like everyone else, but he believed God. Therefore, he followed God's instructions. He came to God by offering the shed blood of an animal on the altar. Because of this, God showed mercy towards him.
So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out." Genesis 6:13-14.
God told Noah to build an ark, a boat. This was no rowboat. It was a large ship, similar to modern ocean-going freighters. It had several decks, a built-in ventilation system, and a door. Only one door. The ship was built of wood, covered with a coat of tar to seal it. The ark remained the largest vessel ever built until its size and ratio was almost duplicated in 1844 by the ship Great Britain. The dimensions of the ark are still considered ideal for a large, stable boat. It was not built for speed, only to preserve life.
"I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Genesis 6:17-22.
This was no easy request to obey. Noah had never built a boat before, certainly not one this size. Then there was the matter of rain. It had not rained on the earth since creation, so obviously it had never flooded either. How would you explain the notion of a flood to your neighbors? They would laugh. And Noah's neighbors did. But Noah believed God, resting in the fact that what God had told him was the truth. God had said it would be 120 years before the flood would come. During this time, Noah not only oversaw the construction of the boat, but he also warned all who would listen that judgment was coming. The Bible tells us that before the flood, people lived to be hundreds of years old. Various theories have been suggested as to why this was so, but no reason is given in the Bible. It is simply stated as fact. Considering the long time people lived, 120 years for building the ark was well within the usual lifespan. After the flood, we will see that life shortened considerably so that a man of 90 was regarded as old. Many excellent books have been written on the flood, the impact it made on lifespans, the world climate and geography, and how Noah and a boatload of animals could have survived. These books are reasoned theories based on the biblical account. With such detailed sources available, I have not attempted to duplicate them. Rather, in the next few minutes, I've included odds and ends of some of these theories with the hope that they might be helpful to the understanding without bogging down the mind.
The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, 1, 5, and 13 through 16.
After 120 years of building, making preparations and warning all who passed by, time was up. Noah and his family entered the boat along with all the animals and birds. It took 7 days to load. Based on the present number of species existing on the earth, the ark would have had more than adequate room to house them all, occupying only an estimated 60% of the vessel. The remaining space probably carried feed. Taking the young of large animals may have been another space saver. To save on food, some may have hibernated. In any case, God was quite able to sustain them in any way He chose. When the loading was all completed, God shut them in. When judgment came and the waters began to rise, no amount of banging on the ark could move Noah to open the hatch. Nor did Noah and his family need fear that the door might be torn open in the pounding deluge. They were perfectly safe because God had shut the door, the one and only door to safety. He had shut in those who believed and shut out the rebellious. God is gracious. He had given mankind 120 years to turn from their sinful ways and take advantage of His mercy, but they had laughed and ridiculed Noah. Now their time was up. Judgment came, just as God had said it would. Man sometimes threatens and never delivers, but God always keeps His word.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis 7, 11 and 12.
Cartoons have been drawn of an old man on a little houseboat surrounded by animals, all getting soaked to the skin by a rain squall. Those efforts to illustrate the story are an error. You would have been crazy and dead to have stayed outside in the storm that burst upon the earth. Since the time of Eden, the world had been watered by a mist and by immense springs that fed the rivers. Now that all changed. First of all, the underground water systems ruptured. They literally split the ground open. It has been speculated that great underground basins collapsed, spewing water under pressure into the sky, tearing open fissures in the earth's crust and moving whole continents of land on its water-lubricated surface. Then the great storehouse of water that God had originally placed above the expanse collapsed and inundated the earth. The greenhouse effect lost its protective glass with almost indescribable results. An immediate change in climate occurred with the polar regions plunging into a deep freeze. The abrupt difference in temperature between the polar and equatorial regions created immense winds and storms. The Hebrew word to describe this event means a catastrophic deluge. In the Bible, that word is solely used to describe this flood. No other inundation ever came close to equaling this one. Though many of the things that happened in the cataclysm can be explained by natural science, we must remember that an all-powerful God could create the flood circumstances and the attending catastrophic results without any limitation. The rain lasted for 40 days, but water continued to flow out of the underground fountains for 150 days.
For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. Genesis 7, 17 through 19, and 22 and 23. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. Genesis 8, 1 through 3a.
It is believed that prior to the flood, the mountains were not as high as today. Today, if you were able to take the surface of the globe and smooth it out, the water would cover the earth to a depth of approximately 2 miles or 3 kilometers. The Bible says that after the flood, the mountains we see today rose up and the valleys sank down to form ocean basins.
The waters were standing above the mountains. At thy rebuke, they fled. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which thou didst establish for them. Thou didst set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Psalms 104, 6b through 9.
God set a boundary which the water could not cross, so that it would never again cover the earth. Noah and his family were in the boat for 371 days before God opened the door and let them out. Long before that day, the waters had receded and the ark had lodged in a mountainous region. When they left the ark, the ground was not only dry, but producing again. It was a very different planet from before. It was the earth on which we now live.
Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and, taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. Genesis 8, 15 through 18, and 20 and 21a.
The first thing Noah did after leaving the ark was to build an altar and offer a blood sacrifice to God. That was what believing people did in those days, as a sign that they were following God's word. God was pleased.
Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Genesis 9, 1, 9, and 11 through 13.
God promised to never destroy the earth with a flood again. Whenever it rained, the rainbow would be a reminder of that promise. Though thousands of years have passed since the flood, God has kept his word.
The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years, and then he died. Genesis 9, 18, 19, and 29.
Before we end this chapter, there are a couple of points of interest we will touch on. A very common question has to do with when and where the dinosaurs fit into the Bible. The word dinosaur is never mentioned in the scriptures, but going strictly by what the Bible says, one can assume that the dinosaurs were created and lived with man from the beginning of time, up to the flood. Since many of the dinosaurs were reptilian-like animals, and reptiles never stop growing until death, it could be speculated that a reptile living hundreds of years would have been quite large. We must also remember that only a few of the dinosaurs were very big. Many were the size of the animals we see today. The greenhouse climate would certainly have been conducive to the life needs of a reptile, large or small. So what happened to the dinosaurs? Conceivably, they could have gone on the ark along with the rest of the animals, young ones, of course, there was plenty of room, and then died after coming off the ark. The conditions created by the deluge answer many questions we see in the natural world around us. For example, the massive amount of silt created by the flood, the extreme pressure of the water, the tremendous amount of erosion would account for the deposits of coal, oil, and huge fossil beds we now find. Many thought-provoking books have been written to discuss the creation flood perspective. They present reasoned and logical explanations for much of what we see. If you have nagging questions, do not finalize your personal beliefs until you have spent adequate time studying this issue.